Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Katamathion. What is katamathion, you Greek scholars? What does that mean? According to Matthew, katamathion. According to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew. And what does Matthew mean? What does the name Matthew mean? Gift of God. All right, Matthew. Gift of God. All right. Matthew 6 and verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5. Jesus is hot on the trail of the Pharisees. Hot on the trail of the Pharisees. He is laying it on them. I mean, the whole 5th chapter and the 6th chapter has been aimed with the sights right on them. Just bringing them right in. He's thrashing those people. Why? Why is he so bitter against the Pharisees? Why? Why is Jesus bitter against the Pharisees?
Do you think because they rejected him?
No, they did reject him, that's for sure.
And disobeyed him and didn't...
Yeah. What had the Pharisees done? Remember what the name Pharisees means. Separated. They're separated. They set themselves apart. They were the religious elite of Israel. And they had led Israel astray. Religion is supposed to bind the person back to God, not away from God. And they had bound people away from God. They had turned... God has had one plan of salvation from Genesis through Revelation. What is that? Brother Abe just brought us through four songs that just emphasize that so greatly. Salvation by grace. We're saved by grace. Adam was saved by grace. Moses was saved by grace. Everyone in the Old Testament was saved by grace. In the New Testament, we're saved by grace. One way. They look forward to Jesus coming. We look back. Simple as that. That's the story. Now, he is going to hit every facet of their religion. He is going to just pound them into a crumble. Used to a long time ago. We could really turn the economy around if they would turn the prisons back into factories and workshops like they used to. You take them out and put them out to, you know, they're wanting to bring up all of these people out of Mexico and all over the place in the world to gather their fruit. Take the prisoners out there and let the farmers pay the prisons. There's gobs of things you can do. Cut down all the trees on the side of the freeways. Pave it. A lot of different things you could do to save money. But a long time ago, they used to take out, every prison was around a rock pile. Every prison was around a rock pile. And what they did is they took all these big granite rocks and they got the prisoners out there and they beat them up and made fine rocks out of them and pounded them down to where they take them out and make roads out of all this fine rocks and gravel. They were making cement and roads out of this powdered gravel. Well, that's what Jesus is doing. He's pounding these people to a powder. Just beating every one of their religious ideas to a pulp. Grounding it to powder. It says that they would fall against a rock. That these people would pound themselves against the rock of Israel. And what would they be? They would be ground to powder. That's what the Bible says. 6 and verse 5 now, there's a lot of them. A lot of words I'm going to bring out to you from the Greek. 6 and verse 5. when we did the book of Revelation here a while back, Linda wanted me to read it in Greek first, the translation. Remember that?
Yeah.
When they did the book of Revelation, that was about 2 years ago, I think. We got... What?
I think
it's time again. All right. Anyway, well, I haven't been reading every word. All right, but here's what the way it goes. And when ye may pray for yourself, middle voice. All right? Not ye shall become as the hypocrite, the hypocrites. Who's the hypocrites? Who Jesus called hypocrites? He just keeps referring. He doesn't call them Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites. The actors. All right? The actors. Don't be like the actors. Don't be like the... You can put the word Pharisee right there. You can put the word high priest right there. You can put the word Levite right there, Sister Andino.
I have it in my Bible, pretenders.
Yes, pretenders. The pretenders. The religious elite, okay? Because they like in the synagogues. All right, now he's not missing any beats here, is he? Where did they go? They were the leaders in every synagogue, weren't they? These are the leaders in the synagogue. And in the corners, the street corners of the open streets, having stood prosukete, all right, to pray, to continually pray, so that in this manner they may appear, they might shine forth, is what it says in Greek. That might shine forth to the men. Amen. Lego. Truly I say to you, they have the wages of them. They have their wages. Now let's go another place. I think it's in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 18, 11 through 14. Let's find out who's talking about. Who's Jesus talking about here? Luke 18, 11 through 14. Luke 18, 11 through 14.
Luke 18, 11 through 14.
Yes. Brother Bill, can you shout that out real loud? Who is he talking about here? We're going to find out.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men.
Well, hold on right there. Remember a while ago I said that you might pray to yourself? They weren't praying to God. They were praying to themselves. They didn't get God's number. How many of you have a phone? Have you ever dialed the wrong number? Anybody? All the Pharisees had the wrong number. They were calling home. They were not calling God. They were calling home. They had all the wrong numbers. If you dial God's number, you better remember God. They weren't praying to God. They were praying to themselves. Remember what it said here in this last verse? That you may pray for yourself. Subjunctive mode. Remember what subjunctive mode means? You Greek scholars, may or may not happen. All right? And it's middle voice. They pray to themselves. Anytime you may pray to yourself. They weren't praying to God to begin with. They were praying to themselves. And they were praying to everyone around them. Not to God. They didn't have His number. They called home. That's all. They were dialing home. Go on, Brother Bill.
That I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even...
He's praying out loud. This is these words in the prayer. That is saying... Now, back here in Matthew 6 and 5, in Luke 18, he tells exactly who he's talking about. The Pharisees. Go ahead, Brother Bill. I'm not an extortioner. Were they?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
All right, just think about that now. Do you think, who's Jesus talking about here? This Pharisee bunch. He uses the same modes and voices in Greek in this verse that he does in Luke the 18th chapter. Same bunch, same guys. All right? Now, do you have any doubt in your mind that he's talking to about the religious elite in Israel? That's exactly who he's talking to. They're still there today. They're still all puffed up today. They're still over in the land of Israel. Say, this is our land. Not their land until the Lord gives it to them. It's not their land, right? They haven't accepted the Messiah. When they finally accept the Messiah, then they will get it. Not now. Then they will get it. Right now they're living still just like this. Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. All the religious leaders of Israel, and they're still doing the same thing today. They haven't changed in 2,000 years. Not in 2,000 years. All right. Praying the hypocrites. You pray, you are not as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners in order that they may be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, their mesthos, their wages right now. They have their wages right now. 6 and verse 6 now. Matthew 6 and 6. All right. But when ye may pray, you enter into a closet, a storage room, a someplace in the back part of the house, someplace where no one else is. Okay? This is a place that's not used by the rest of the people. All right? Tanel. You enter into the storage room of you, and having shut the door, you pray. You bend the knee toward the God Father of you. To the one in secret. To the one in secret. Crypto, that's the word, crypto. What word do we get from crypto in Greek, in English? Come on. Anybody around here know what's the word in English that comes from crypto? Huh? Cryptography or cryptic. Cryptic. What's cryptic means? Hidden or secret. All right. In the secret, the Father of you, the one seeing, constantly seeing, in the secret, he shall give back to you. The last word, he said, they receive their wages. Mistos, that's wages. Now it says he's going to give back. Apo. Don't say, he shall give back to you. He shall give back to you. You will get it. The Pharisees got their wages. Why, they were high paid, weren't they? They were the elite. They were the politicians of the day. The politicians of the day. All right? The Pharisees were the Republicans. The Sadducees were the Democrats. All right. Neither one of them are worth a flip, let's put it that way. Not worth anything. Nothing. Zero. All right. 6 and verse 7 now. 6 and verse 7. See if this here sounds familiar. It says praying, but praying, not ye may utter empty words, chattering, empty, repetition, babbling. It's an onomatopoeic word. Onomatopoeic means what? You know, the other night, on Wednesday night, I talked about an onomatopoeic word when we were studying Greek, remember? That word was Thursday, I got to utter that word. Didn't I, Marilyn? Huh? Onomatopoeic word. All right. Sometimes you have automatic peg words. The word oh. I asked Marilyn, I said, she puts a lot of things in the closets and everything all the time when you open up. I say, fibber again, Molly. Most of you don't know what that means. But it was an old radio program, and every time they opened up the closet, everything fell out and knocked them down. All right. Anyway, my back is bad, and I put my hand down on the counter on top of a can that was outside, you know, what a can of tuna or something. I opened the door, and out fell this great big can, and my finger is still all swollen up right on top. My finger was right, thumb was like that over the can, and the other can fell right just like that. And I thought he cut my thumb off. And boy, I was on, oh. Marilyn walks in the door and said, what's wrong? Do this, do it. I said, let me alone. Let me hurt in peace. That's all I'm going to pick. All right? That's something you just yell, holler, groan. All right? Bata lo geisete. That's the word. Ye may babble unintelligently. 1 Kings 8 and 26. 1 Kings 8 and 26 and Acts 19 and verse 34. Cross-reference to this word. All right? It means to utter empty words. Different groups have prayer wheels, rosaries. You ever heard of that? You know what a rosary? What do you do with a rosary? How many of you know how to say the rosary? Huh? Anybody here know how to say the rosary? Nobody here know how to say the rosary. All right. They say, Hail Mary, Mother of God. On and on and on, okay? You say it over and over again. Go say 20 Hail Marys, the 30 Hail Marys, 40 Hail Marys. That's paganism, people. That comes right out of paganism. All of these pagan religions have something that they repeat over and over and over again. The Buddhists have a little prayer wheel. And they keep the prayer wheel turning. It's like a rosary. Even the Muslims do. They have a rosary. They say the same prayers over and over and over again. Israel had started doing that. They would say the prayers over and over and over and over again. Continually praying over and over and over again. Ye may enter utterly empty words, vain repetition, just as the ones heathens, just as the heathens do. Gentiles, so what it means are heathens. They do. For because in their much speaking of them, they think they're going to be heard. They think they're going to be heard because they're much speaking. And the Pharisees have done this. They prayed all the time. It's not wrong to pray all the time, is it? To pray. How many of you pray over little things? Yeah. When you're out doing anything. If I'm out working on plumbing, I've been praying. So, Lord, help me do this thing. When I used to work as a mechanic, I prayed for the Lord to help me on almost every hard little project that I was doing. It was difficult. I prayed. That means praying continuously in every little facet of your life. When you're cooking, girls, cleaning the house, whatever you do, pray. Pray. That's not vain repetition. That's communicating with God. There's nothing wrong with that. Sunshine.
But what about when we're outside doing the yard? Is it okay to hear His word, or is it better to pray?
Oh, it's fine. I mean, you can pray when you're working in the yard.
No,
that's all.
I mean, is it better to pray or to hear His word?
Well, regardless. You know, you can hear His word, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you pray, what God wants us to do is to be in a constant state of prayer. But not like this. Not like the heathens do. The heathens, they aren't praying to God. They're praying to themselves. When you're praying to yourself, you're just talking and muttering words over and over again, and they actually mean nothing. It's all vain repetition. It's like saying Psalm 23 over and over and over again. Psalm 23 is a great psalm. But if you use that as a prayer, in some churches they go in and they pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." They just go on and they say this over and over and over and over again. There's nothing wrong with saying it. It was a model prayer. It is our model prayer, but not the prayer we are to pray. But many churches get up there and the first thing they do is pray this. You know what that is? That's vain repetition. There's nothing wrong with the prayer, but the vain repetition. It doesn't mean anything. Alright? Prayer should mean something. Alright? Prayer should mean something. Six and verse eight.
Let's look at that.
Therefore, do not be like them. Who? Who's them? The Pharisees. The heathens. All of the heathen people. Do not be like them. For your Father, He knows what you need before you ask Him. He knows what you need before you ask Him. We ask, how many of you ever asked God for something? Specifically. There's nothing wrong with asking God for something. I remember Donald Gray Barnhouse. He wrote an illustration a long time ago. He said his son went off to college. And his son wrote him a letter. And his son said, "Dad, I want to go on. We are on the dean's list, and we can take off and cut classes anytime we want to. And my friends and I, we want to go to Wisconsin and go on a party, have a real good party. We're going to go fishing and do all kinds of stuff, and I need $50. And if it be your will, send me this $50. Well, Donald Gray Barnhouse said, "I'm not going to send him $50 to go fool around. He's going to college." About a week later, he didn't go on the trip. It was $50 was his part of the trip. He wrote his dad back, and he said, "Dad," he said, "in chemistry class, I burned up one of my pair of pants and my suit that I was wearing, and I need $50 for a new suit. Could you send it to me, please?" He didn't ask him to be your will. He said, "You know what?" He said, "My job was to keep that boy in clothes while he was in college. I knew that he needed that. He didn't need that trip. And he needed to be in class, whether he could cut class or not. He needed to be in class." He said, "I sent him to college to go to college." He said, "I told him I'd keep him in clothes. He asked me, 'Dad, send me $50 for the suit.' He sent him $50 for the suit." God will give you what you need. Sometimes you think you need more things than what you really do. But he will send you what you need. Verse number nine. Pray in this way: "Our Father, who art in..." Now, this is unusual here. This is a Hebraism. And Genesis 1 and 1, it says, "Barashith, bara, Elohim, et Hashemayim." All right? What does Hashemayim mean? Hashemayim. Anybody know? Huh? Roger, you know what Hashemayim?
Father in heaven.
Hashemayim. Heavens, plural. In the Greek, it's brought over here from the Hebrew. This is a Hebraism. It's plural in heavens. Okay? It said, "Our Father who are in heavens," through all the heavens. He is omnipresent, isn't he? How many heavens are there? How many, brother?
Three.
Thank you. You got A+ today, Fernando. There are three heavens. All right. The Lord is in presence in all three heavens. But how many heavens is He in control of right now?
All of them.
No.
Cosmos.
No.
Well,
yeah. Bill, like how come we have all this trouble on earth? Who is the God of this age? All right. All right. Which heaven is the Lord in total control of? One. And we're going to find it out in this. It goes back into the Hebraisms. All right. Hashemayim. All right. Uranois is the word for heavens in Greek, which plural. Okay. All right. Let's look at this. There's a lot of theology in the Bible. When you just skip over it and you don't look in the original language, a lot of times you miss a whole lot of it. Okay. Hallowed be thy name. All right. Our Father which is in the heavens, all the heavens, He's present everywhere. Hallowed be thy name. All right. All right. Now, why hallowed? That word is hagios there. Why? What does hagios mean? It means holy, not of earth. All right. Israel, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is what? One. And then another saying He says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Many people continually use God's name in vain. When you use it in vain repetition, His name is in vain. All right? His name is in vain. Keep His name holy. We don't even know how to say the name Jehovah at all because they never spoke the name. We don't know how to say that. They don't know how to say it either. I don't care what they say. Them Jews got all kinds of brand new ideas about their language in the last 200 years. They don't know how to say that name either. They never said it. They were afraid to say it. His name should be kept holy. God's name should be kept holy. And how many times do we hear people abusing the name of God today? Thy will be done on earth as it is in... What should that be now? Where is God in complete control? In His throne room. And this is singular. Singular. Think about that now. It's beautiful when you start looking in the languages. On earth as it is in heaven. All right? Verse number 11. Give us this day our daily needs. Our needful things. All right? Our needful things. Give us this day our needful things. The word is artos. There's an old term. It goes all the way back to the Bible time. And when you go and stay with somebody, you do and you eat with them, what was the old term? You did what? What? Broke bread with them. Because basically, that's all they had. That was it. Most people had bread, butter, and cheese. That's what they existed on. Bread, butter, and cheese. That was about it. Most of the world lived on that. And if you were lucky, you had wheat bread. Otherwise, you were eating barley bread or rye bread or some other kind of bread that was lesser. When the anthropologists study people groups, one of the main things, I mean, today now they can go in there and they can take a dead body and they can check the digestive organs and all that kind of stuff and see what they were eating. But for a long time, when they looked at a skeleton, what did they tell about what they were eating? How did they tell the difference between royalty and the common man? The teeth. The common man's teeth would be completely worn off from eating poor food. Poor food. Poor quality. where the rich people had the fine flour and the fine grinding mills, and they didn't have a lot of grit in their food when they ate it. Especially in the Egyptian culture. All right? Breaking bread. Give us to this our daily bread, our whatever we need to eat. When Christopher Columbus came to America, he made a couple of different trips, but when he went back to Europe, he took all kinds of food from here that they didn't have in Europe. God had blessed this continent with food that the other continents didn't have. The American Indian, I don't quite understand everything, why God did what he did, but the American Indian lived, the greatest portion of them, lived like God told them to live. And he blessed them. And he provided for them. He meant for man to be nomadic and not live in big cities. You go back and back over here and what were they supposed to do over here? Scatter and multiply and believe in him every day. Right there, scatter and multiply. What'd they do? Build a big city. God knew that when man built big cities, there was going to be crime and corruption and manipulation of the masses. That's what happened. When God cursed Cain in the Old Testament, what did he go out and do? It said he went into the land of Nod, which means the land of wandering. But what did he do over there? If you study history, he invented slavery. He was a farmer. And he was proud of what he did. And look here, look what I grew. And he wanted to offer his produce as a sacrifice to God, which was the ground has been cursed because of Adam. So he offered a cursed offering from a cursed ground. He didn't offer the right amount either. And he didn't offer an animal. Animals are innocent. That's innocent blood. Man's guilty. Man had to have a sacrifice. All in the Old Testament, what all those sacrifices told us is that something innocent had to die for the guilty. And who was that going to be? Who was it going to be? Jesus. Right? And Jesus is lambasting them right here because of all of that. The Pharisees, when they bring a Gentile in, remember, they would baptize him. He would learn the catechism of Judaism. And he would have to stand up in the synagogue and repeat all that catechism. And then he would be baptized, denouncing his old self and his old ethnic background, and being raised as a new person, as a Jew, basically. A spiritual Jew. Baptism is pretty important. Did you know that? Baptism is pretty important. It doesn't get you to heaven. I'll tell you what it does. It gets you to a higher place in heaven. Did you know that? Huh? That's really important. It doesn't get you to heaven. Baptism does. Baptism is not... Half of the world teaches baptismal regeneration. Here's Egypt over here. Egypt is the type of what? Huh? Type of the world. All right. When Israel left Egypt, they went across what was actually the Red Sea. If you look at it in Hebrew, in the Septuagint it says the Red Sea, but they cross a body of water. Okay? Regardless. In the Hebrew it says Red Sea. Okay? Did you know that, Brother Rucker? No, all right. They crossed the sea, okay? Whether it was the Red Sea or the Red Sea. It says Red Sea in Hebrew. It says Red Sea in the Septuagint. They come over here toward the promised land. And God said that all of these all of Israel was baptized unto what? In this crossing. Unto what? Unto whom? Moses. Moses. Moses was the type of Christ, wasn't he? He was baptized unto Moses. Alright? And that Red Sea or Reed Sea was a barrier. Once they crossed it, it was a barrier to keep them from going back into Egypt. All right? Barrier. I baptized probably 40 or 50 people here from my Sunday school class since I started teaching here 16 years ago. Every time I baptize somebody, if I talk, I'll say, have you repented of your sins? Because that's real important. Have you repented of sins and called upon the Lord to save your soul? That's the first. Before you're being baptized, you need to have repented. You've got to be saved before God. If a sinner is baptized, he comes out a wet sinner. You've got to be saved before you're baptized. You don't get saved to be baptized, okay? So I tell them, have you confessed your sin? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Yep. All right. Now I baptize you by the authority of this church in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised new in newness of life. You, when you're baptized, you publicly put on Christ. And to the whole world, that is a barrier from going back into the world. Once you've been baptized, that's a public statement. We should walk in newness of life. Children of God can fall back into the world, can't they? They can do things wrong. But baptism, that is an honorary badge you wear in this world. An honorary badge. Yes. Now, you've got to be baptized. You're baptized. That is the door to church membership. And keep remembering this also. The church is not all the saved. Because there's a lot of saved that aren't in churches. Okay? Salvation is by grace through faith alone, not baptism. But every saved person ought to be baptized. They ought to be. Okay? And that's a barrier from you going back into the world, too. Because the church watches over you. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. We got off the bane, but there's just a little bit. Give us this, our daily bread, what we need, our necessities. Okay? Food. I don't eat much bread at all. But I eat food. Forgive us our number 12. Forgive us the debts. Legal debts is what it says. Give us our legal debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, are we legally responsible for our own person before God? A lot of people go and christen their babies. And they baptize them, sprinkle them. Some churches really dipped them. Catholic Church dipped the babies for a long time, drowned a few of them. I actually did. Huh?
They didn't learn.
Yeah, they didn't learn. You don't baptize babies, you baptize believers. Godfather and Godmothers. You know why they have Godfathers and Godmothers? Huh? Because a baby can't talk, can it? Even the Catholics know that a person's supposed to confess their sin to be baptized. They got that. They brought that far on this side a little bit. On this side of the... from being Baptist. They brought that a little bit. They used to be Baptist about 200 A.D. You can trace the Catholic Church all the way back to the early... to Christ. But they got to become Baptist about 200 A.D. And they brought that with them. So you have a godmother and a godfather. They brought it in the Anglican Church. They brought it in the Methodist Church. In all the churches, you have godmothers and godfathers. Why? Because they believe that you baptize a child for the original sin. The child is forgiven of its original sin. If a baby isn't baptized, if it dies before it's baptized, it can't get into heaven. Did you know that? That's not baptism. That's not what baptism is all about. But this is what most of the religious, about 70% of the religious world teaches this. Now, godmother and godfather, what does godmother and godfather do? They stand there by the baby. And the priest, or the bishop, or whatever you want to call him, that sprinkles this baby, they said, so-and-so, do you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Yes. He has to answer for the child, because the child can't say, yeah. Because all he can say is, dad-da, or nothing at all, blah, 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 whatever. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in hell and all this kind of stuff and eternal damnation? They have them make a confession of faith for the baby. That's what a godfather does. Makes a confession of faith for the baby. How many of you knew this? Anybody know this? This foolishness. But this is what it is. All right? This is the wrong way to go. Nobody can be baptized for you. The Mormon church baptized millions of people by proxy. How foolish. You can't be baptized for anybody. Not going to. About 300 A.D., I think it was, they had the first, what they call, I can think of the word now, effusion. Baptism means to dip. That's all it means. It doesn't mean anything else. It means to dip. Dip is baptizo. The Pedo Baptist wrote a book, and I have it. The name of the book is Bapto. That's the name of it, right on the book. And they go through all the reasons that they can think of why baptism is only a rite and doesn't really mean what it means. Baptism means to immerse. When you talk about John the Baptist, is John the Dipper, John the Immerser. That's who he was. The King James, they didn't believe in immersion. King James didn't believe in immersion for baptism. When he was translating the King James Bible, when it came to the word baptizo, they said, what are we going to do? If we translate it immerse like the Baptists do, they'll know they're right. And they said, well, don't translate it at all. Just transliterate it. Just bring it over. So they won't know. Baptize means to dip. There's a word for sprinkle in Greek. That's rontizo. There's a word for pour. That's nipto. If God wanted to pour water on you, it would have been nipto. If he wanted to sprinkle water on you, it would have been rontizo. But he wanted you dipped in water because only immersion typifies what? Death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is slapping all of this. In John the 3rd chapter, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? That he needed to be baptized, didn't he? That he needed to be born again. Because he was wrong. Nicodemus was a what? He was a Pharisee and he was on the Sanhedrin court. Alright, he was a Pharisee, he was on the Sanhedrin court. And he was there to see Jesus as a representative of the Sanhedrin and as a representative of the Pharisees and the Levites and the high priest. And Jesus addressed him. All of you need to be born again. Every one of you. All of you need to put away this religion, this false religion. You need to be born again. You need to lay down Judaism now and come to the King. They weren't going to do that. Jesus is really pounding them to a powder. Forgive us of our legal debts. We're all legally responsible to God, every one of us. A little baby, when it's born, it doesn't have to be baptized to get to heaven. It's under the age of accountability. It's going to go to heaven if it dies. That's it. Period. It's going to go to heaven. Every baby that's been aborted is going to be in heaven. They're all going to be in heaven. They're all guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ, especially, it says, of those that believe. They're covered. All right? One morning, I did a whole... I think it was on Sunday morning that I did a Security of the Believer for Babies That Die Before the Age of Accountability. We did a class on that about a year ago or so. We covered all the scriptures concerning that. I can't go back and teach every class over again when we come to that point, but it's there on the website. All right. Don't allow us to be led into temptation. Don't allow us to be led into temptation. How usually do we get led into temptation? By our own selves. We see something, we want it, whatever ungodly thing it is. And we wander off. Please do not allow us to be led into temptation. Snatch us away from, it says. Snatch us away. This is a word to rapture. Rapture. I also taught several lessons on, is the word rapture in the Bible? Yes, it is. This is one of the words for it right here. Word rapture. Snatch us out from the evil one. Snatch us out from his clutches. Do we have to deal with the devil every day? He works us over every day. He works me over every day. I'm going to tell you that. I know where he is all the time. He's right behind me. I can tell you that. He's following me real close.
Pushing on the back.
Yeah.
Constantly pushing on the back.
Trying to kick my feet out from underneath me. Yeah. Working me over. Now it says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's actually not in the original language. Someone added that later. There's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't there. Simple as that. For if you forgive men of their transgressions, now what he's doing here, God already put it down, if we legally forgive men of their trespasses, and what is it talking about? In the fifth chapter of Matthew, it was the ethics of the kingdom, wasn't it? All right, now where are you going to have the most trouble in this life as a child of God in God's service? Sister Andino? In God's churches. Do churches all the time, they're made up of people, aren't they? And people rub each other the wrong way, don't they?
Amen.
Except for Bill. Boy, I tell you what, it's hard. Sometimes it drives you crazy. People of God will drive you crazy. Other people. They do. They're driving you nuts. We get rubbed the wrong way. And churches are little political orders. Did you know that? They're little democracies. In a democracy, you have problems, don't you? Huh? In the early churches, they were social democracies. Socialist democracies. Did you know that? Israel was a socialist nation. All the early churches were socialist democracies. Originally, all the Indian tribes were socialist democracies in America. They were democracies. When George Crook went among the Indian people, he said, there's one thing about the United States government doesn't understand about Indian people. Indians don't have chiefs. Did you know that? Indians didn't have any chiefs. They didn't have any real big legal chiefs. Have you ever heard of an Indian princess? Huh? Have you ever heard of an Indian princess? How many of you ever heard of that term? Indian princess. That's a white term. When England came to the East Coast and when the Spanish came to the West Coast, if they had any, well, I tell you what, out here on the West Coast, when the Catholic Church came here, that was genocide with the Indians. If you didn't live on a mission, which was basically a slave plantation, if you weren't there, if you didn't put your neck under the yoke of Spain and the Catholic Church, you were a dead man. Especially in California. From one end, all the missions, every one of them were slave plantations. That's what they are. In the East Coast, but wherever they went, they tried to appoint a chief among the Indian people and let him sign a treaty for them. The Indians didn't do that. They were all socialist democracies. Everybody voted in every tribe, even the women. In America, how long did it take the women to get the right to vote?
Not long enough.
Not long enough. But they did. They had the right to vote. They did. And when any Indian chief signed a treaty, it was invalid. Because the tribe, every person in the tribe had to vote All of women, children, everybody. From the smallest one that could ride an X. He said, we're like the Black Hills right now. The Black Hills have never been treated for. Did you know that? The Black Hills are still the Lakota Nation. It has never been treated for. It is occupied territory. To this day, it's never been treated for. When I lived up there in Fish Lake Valley, the land up there had never been treated for. I had a real good friend, Hank Patterson, that was his white name. His Indian name was Butterfield. They had pushed all of his people out of Fish Lake Valley down to 1 acre of ground. And he lived on that 1 acre of ground. And his white rancher came up there, and he was going to force him off the ground. And Hank wouldn't leave. He'd lived there. His family had lived there since eons of time. He was the last Western Shoshone, full blood, there. He came up there, and the farmer just said, get off my land. I'm going to bring a deal here. And he said, no. I'm not leaving. This is my land. Get off of my land. You're right here, right where I need to be. My ranch is right. You're in the way of my ranch. He said, this is my family. He lived in a tin shack with no water running water or anything, no electricity or anything at that time. I wired his house for electricity and hooked it up to a pole later on. He had a little old tin shack and a little old board house, and that's coal country up there. But he wanted that 1 acre of ground. He stood there, and he stood against old Hank, and Hank was about this tall, a little bitty short guy. Hank, by the way, helped build Scotty's castle. He was a mason down there and everything. But we were close friends ever since I was a little kid. He picked up dirt in the yard and threw it in Hank's face. He said, that dirt in your face and my dirt is not your dirt. Hank went and got himself a logger. You know what happened after he got himself the logger? They found that all of Fish Lake Valley was Hank's. Including the farmer's land. It had never been treated for at all. They didn't know what to do. They had all kinds of claims and homesteads and everything all over the valley, and none of it was legal. They sure weren't going to give it back to Hank. But they didn't bother him about moving anymore. They said they were going to drill him a water well and put electricity in and all that stuff. I put electricity in. They never did drill him a water well as long as he lived. Forgive men for their transgressions. When we work in churches, I teach from a very orthodox, traditional way. We teach Sunday school. You know, here a while back they decided that we needed to have our Sunday school classes teach again. I never did quit teaching. And my people never did quit teaching. The church voted to have modern music, and boy, did that tear up my class. We lost about 70% of our Sunday school class. They exited the church. Zip! It's easy to get it run off. What's hard is staying and forgiving your brother, even when they make mistakes. Period. We don't all look alike, do we? We all don't all think alike. Everybody looks different. Everybody thinks different. We need to respect each other. Forgive us of our legal debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but snatch us out from the evil one. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's talking about in church services. And work. That's the hardest place you'll ever have to deal with in church. Because your brothers and sisters will chop your head off sometimes.
Yep.
They do. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. That just gets you ready for the kingdom. Working in churches just gets you ready for the kingdom, that's all. Get you ready. Ready for the kingdom, because the churches are what? The administrators of the kingdom today. Number 16, we'll look at the next couple of verses, and then we're going to turn you loose on the world.
Again,
okay, we will. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Remember what he said over there? What did the Pharisees say? I fast twice in a week. I do all this. I do all that. Do not put on the gloomy face as the hypocrites do. What could you put in the place of hypocrites? Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Levites. They do neglect, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen as fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, their wages in full. Today, the Muslims, there's a holy month that the Muslims fast all month long. Did you know that? They fast all month. How many of you knew that? Ramadan? All right. They fast for the whole month. How in the world can you live a month without eating? That's pretty rough. Did you know they fast for a whole month? Thank you, brother. They eat at night. They don't eat when the light's up. They eat at night. That's not fasting. That's not fasting at all. That's just fasting during the daytime. That's all. I mean, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Some of them will fast 3 days a week or 1 week for four different months or whatever. You know, they'll spread it out. They won't eat in the daytime. There are a lot of people who don't eat in the daytime to sleep all day anyway. How many got teenagers? They'll eat at nighttime. It wouldn't bother them at all. All right. 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. You want to fast? There's nothing wrong with fasting. Kind of get your body in control, doesn't it? That's one of the basic elements of hunger is. When you can get into your body in control, you're doing all right. That's why the early Christians fasted. That's why the Indians fasted in America. They fasted too. Almost every religious society in the world fasts. We have Jesus with us, and we know He's going to answer our prayer. We have our prayers guaranteed, don't we? If it's His will. So that you may be seen fasting not men, but your Father who is in secret, your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. One little thing left. Donald Gray Barnhouse, again, one time, he said he traveled a lot and taught all over the place and preached and lectured. And he said he went to this hotel, and this one guy there was a Christian guy in this hotel. And he had a rough time. He lived basically on tips. You know, people that work in restaurants, these waitresses, most of them get minimum wage. The tips is what their wages really are. They get more tips than they do wages. And they depend on that to feed their families. Well, this porter that was in this hotel with Donald Gray Barnhouse, he knew him and he was talking to him and they were talking about prayer. And the beautifulness of God answering prayer. And he said he went up to the motel room or the hotel room, and when he got in there, he said, how much money you got in your pocket? He asked the guy, and he took out, he had $1.19. He said, all right. He said, how much you got? And he said, $1.19. And he took out a 50-cent piece, and he gave it to him. He said, now how much you got? $1.69. All right. So Donald Gray Barnhouse reached over and got the 50-cent piece, and he said, how much money you got in your pocket, in your hand? He says, $1.19. He said, no, you don't. How much do you have? Well, I had $1.69. He said, no, you still have. I gave it to you. And he took it back out and put it in his hand. That's the way God's promises are. They're guaranteed. God guarantees His promises to us. He'll watch over you. You can go through anything in this life. Things are really hard. Sometimes things are hard in this life. You know that? The world can beat you up emotionally and physically and all what kinds of ways. It can just tear you. World upside down, but God is there. He is always there. He'll always get it through it. We may not think we can get through it. May not think we can get through it. Well, thank you for your attention today. Brother B.